Good morning. So this last summer, a couple of weeks after I was ordained, I got up on a sleepy Saturday morning feeling hungry and a tad lazy. So I decided that a breakfast burrito from Betty Burrito would hit the spot. And so I jumped in the car off to my breakfast feast. Mind you, I live only a block away from Betty Burrito. So when I say a lazy Saturday morning, I mean lazy. And while I was waiting for my order, I am enjoying the cool summer morning and trying to get my bearings on the day. And I'm not paying much attention to the other people waiting to place an order or waiting for their orders. But two words spoken by a woman catch my attention and make my ears perk up. And the two words were church and blessing. I looked up, lifting my head from my morning fog, and I see a woman going around to the different people, asking them if they know of a Catholic church that is open. She and her family are from out of town and need something blessed. I walked up to her and introduced myself, and I told her I heard her ask about having the need to have something blessed. Her eyes were filled with deep sorrow. She asked if I was a priest, and I told her no, but that I was a deacon and I could bless what she needed blessed. A light came on in her sad but beautiful eyes. She explained to me that she was the mother of the young college student from CSU who had been recently killed in a car accident out on Baxter Road. And I knew the story from the media, and I shared that with her. She had had a beautiful cross made and wanted it blessed so that it could be placed on the roadside where her daughter lost her life. She went and retrieved the cross from her car, and there we found ourselves in the parking lot of Burrito Betty, centered around the blessing of the cross and centered around in prayer. That was a moment of transfiguration for this mom. I could see and sense some of her burden lifted from her shoulders. The sadness in her eyes lightened up, and she became filled with gratitude for the graces that God had bestowed on us in that moment. We were all somehow transformed in those moments of prayer in the bright morning sunlight that was shining through the trees and in the songs of the birds. The gospel today speaks of the transfiguration of Jesus, and what does that mean for us? Each year on the second Sunday of Lent, we read a gospel account of the transfiguration, and in the account, Jesus and the disciples go up a mountain to pray, as Moses did to receive the commandments in the Exodus, and as Elijah did, to hear the voice of thin silence. Mountains are places of an encounter with the divine, and so are parking lots. The glory of God is revealed in the transfigured Jesus, the one who discussed his suffering and death with Moses and Elijah. Though, like the three apostles, we might want to share in his glory, we can only do so by sharing in his suffering. Lent is a time for us to enter into this suffering, not merely through reflection, prayer, and penance, but concretely by sharing in the suffering of the body of Christ. In the past couple of COVID years, I think we have all experienced suffering all around us. We've experienced losses, gone through sacrifices, watched people change, seeing how we ourselves have been changed. And we've seen and perhaps experienced the fear of children who have been deprived of the innocence of childhood, or in the aimlessness of youth who do not appreciate their own worth. And I see that in the young man I work with in prison. The suffering is also in the desperation of parents who must raise their children in the midst of violence, and sometimes in the emptiness of the aged, who often forget and are sometimes themselves forgotten. The glory of God remains just beneath the surface of their lives. We are all transfigured in and through our suffering. We gain a new perspective on our lives through our suffering, if we're open to it. All four Gospels mention the transfiguration, but only Luke describes it and does not use the words transfigure. Only Luke has Jesus going to pray, and only Luke mentions what Jesus was talking about with Moses and Elijah. Why did Luke add these three distinctive features? First of all, Jesus went up the mountain to pray. In the Gospel of Luke, prayer precedes every important event that takes place: his baptism, his choosing of the apostles, his missioning of the apostles, his passion. Similarly, in Luke, whenever a character is at prayer, amazing things happen. Mary, Zechariah, Elizabeth, and Simeon, as we have already seen, are visited by angels. So prayer is an important prelude to anything happening for Luke. And this is something we ourselves might want to keep in mind in this season of Lent. We need to pray so that our Easter event this year can be truly remarkable. Secondly, Luke has the topic of conversation of Jesus with the two visitors. And if you recall, he was talking about the Exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Here we can tie in the first reading today, which is Abraham receiving the covenant from God. Abraham places his trust and faith in God, and so is called righteous, which means morally right or virtuous in God's eyes. Similarly, Jesus is being declared righteous and one who will also, like Abraham, parent a people who will be led to a promised land, this time the kingdom of heaven. The exodus that Jesus will bring is the leading of all nations to God and the heavenly kingdom, a major theme of Luke. And lastly, I want you to note that last week's readings and this week's readings are like bookends. Last week, we saw the temptation of Christ looking forward, looking ahead to the final temptation when he is on the cross. And this week, we see the glory of Jesus and look forward to the resurrection. These two alternating themes are setting the direction of our Lenten readings and helping prepare us for both the Passion and the resurrection. Whatever we are doing, and I hope we are all doing something this Lent, we must balance what we do against reality and hope. We do what we do, recognizing our tendencies to selfishness and pride, and move to a new place, a place where we can forget self, help others, and so achieve the kingdom of God on earth before we experience it in its fullness later. Pray, fast, do good deeds, but always with the purpose of achieving our final goal, so that we too may be transfigured, transformed, and live in God's light. This is the good news of the Transfiguration for us today. And as we continue our Lenten journey, we should look for ways to engage in individual and communal prayer, to be transformed, and to foster connection with God and with one another.